Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Raish of Crime Talk. And on the docket today, first, Crystal Lee Kenny finds out the date for her sentencing. We have received the Patrick Frazee discovery. The U.S. Supreme Court holds oral arguments on a New York law that's now been repealed, which raises huge questions. And fourth, the dumb criminal contestant of the week. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Raish of Crime Talk. Thank you for tuning into our channel. For those who do not know, my name is Scott Raish. I am a criminal defense attorney, and we are here to provide you with some knowledge and information that you're probably not going to get on a 15-second news blurb on the news. We talk about the cases. We talk about the facts. We try to be unbiased as possible. If you have not subscribed yet, please do so. If you like the video, hit the like button, and please leave us a comment on what we talk about here today. First on the docket, Crystal Lee Kenny. She found out her sentencing date today. For those of you who do not know, Crystal Lee Kenny was the nurse, the mistress of Patrick Frazee, who was found guilty some 2 weeks ago now of killing his fiance and mother of his child, Kelsey Barrett. Patrick Frazee has received a life sentence plus 56 years or whatever. Doesn't really matter for those who are calculating those dates. Like, wow, why do they give another 56 years on top of life without parole? Well, they have to. It's the law. Yes, murder in the first degree, life without parole, immediate sentencing, go forward. But all the solicitation counts, tampering, things like that, the judge just stacks those on. They have to be consecutive because it's a crime of violence from the murder. And the judge oftentimes will just do that just because he wants to rack up big numbers. Sometimes it's because the judge has to be under the statute that it has to be consecutive. So that's why that took place. Crystal Lee Kenny's sentencing date is now scheduled for January 28th at 9 a.m. This will be in Teller County in front of Judge Scott Sells. Now, the judge ordered a pre-sentence investigation report to be done, and that usually takes 6 to 8 weeks to complete. It's not a huge document, but every criminal defendant, particularly in a felony case, is required to have one. And if I was Crystal Lee Kenny's attorney, I would say I want a pre-sentence investigation report as well so that my client can spend the holidays with her family and drag that out. Why it wasn't done beforehand, not really sure. Regardless, Crystal Lee Kenny, as part of her plea agreement, was that she had to testify. So apparently, obviously, the district attorney believes that she has fulfilled her obligation to testify. They're not attempting to withdraw her guilty plea. However, something interesting came out at the status conference. Drew Nielsen, who is Crystal Lee Kenny's attorney and a very, very good attorney. I know Ms. Nielsen. I have not spoken to her about this case. In fact, I saw her one day in the parking garage at court, and I wanted to ask her, but I didn't want to taint anything, so to speak. But Ms. Nielsen is a very, very smart attorney, and she said something that she was going to challenge the sentencing in the aggravated range. Now, that is interesting for a couple of reasons. One, for those who have not listened in previously, Ms. Kenny, because she got a smoking good deal, could get, in theory, probation. And if she were sentenced to the Department of Corrections, the presumptive range under the sentencing scheme here in Colorado is between 12 and 18 months. However, if it were aggravated, it could be as high as a mandatory minimum of 15 months to 3 years. That's a class six felony. Normally, someone is aggravated if they commit a crime when they are on bond, if they're on probation, if they're on parole, in custody, or some sort of escape status. Obviously, Ms. Kenny was not. However, the judges can sometimes use discretionary aggravation, okay? Not usually done. It's a lot easier when it's defined in the statute. However, the guilty plea, at the guilty plea of Crystal Lee Kenny, she agreed to and waived any right to what under Blakely, it's a United States Supreme Court case that says anything that increases the sentencing other than a prior conviction has to be pled, tried to a jury, and proven beyond a reasonable doubt. Kind of getting totally in the weeds there, but what it means is, but the defendant can always waive anything. You can waive all kinds of rights. And if you have a right to that, and you say, no, I'm not going to do that, but you want to get your plea bargain, okay, now you're going to get in the aggravated range up to 3 years in prison. So Ms. Kenny's attorney is now saying that she's going to potentially challenge that, which I think I'd be a little hesitant because the district attorney could always say, if you do that, you will be violating the terms of our plea agreement and we can pull your deal. So we'll see if the DA does that. The judge ordered that Ms. Nielsen, on behalf of Ms. Kenny, file her motion, and then the DA is to respond. And obviously, we'll be tracking that because I think that is significant. But what it also tells me is that Ms. Kenny should bring not a whole lot of luggage to her sentencing hearing because she's probably going away. When your defense attorney is saying, we're arguing about this range period, we're not talking about probation. So she needs to travel light, probably doesn't need to bring anything other than her driver's license. So when they book her in to go to the Department of Corrections, and if she goes to the Department of Corrections, it's not going to be a fun experience for her because she will have that snitch jacket on her. Anyway, we will follow that as we go along. The next thing, for those of you who may recall, in the Christopher Watts case, we were able to receive a big chunk of the discovery once the case was complete. We got all the videos. We had everything. In this particular case, the district attorney is being rather limited in what they are releasing, and I'm going to try and push that to see if I cannot get more information. Perhaps we'll be able to get more, particularly if once Ms. Kenny is in fact sentenced. But as of right now, it is rather limited as far as what we've received. I can tell you we have the body cam videos in their entirety. We'll put those up. I know they've been out there, but I think some people have been hacking them up. I find it's curious that Ms. Kenny is walking around in her CBI jacket and hat because, you know, apparently they're trying to disguise her so that nobody knew she was out on the property cooperating. Like, gee, that wouldn't be hard to figure out, right? We also have some photographs, and we have some timelines, particularly the analysis of the phone calls that the district attorney used in their case in chief and their presentation in closing. We will put all those up because it's just hard to put up on a video and discuss. It would take an hour, but maybe we'll do live or something like that. But Kyle has assured me that those can be put up at scottreich.com, and hopefully he will have those up by the time this video hits tonight. And while you're at scottreich.com, why don't you sign up for our free newsletter? Why? Because everybody likes free stuff. So it's free. Just do it. We don't bombard you. We don't sell the lists. We just try to send you a little more information about cases that we find interesting that we don't have enough time to talk about every day here on Crime Talk. The next case on the docket involves a case that was heard before the United States Supreme Court today and has captured New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus New York City. And this case has an interesting twist. All right. And one of the first things that they teach you in law school is that for a court to hear a case, there has to actually be what they call a case in controversy. And this case, some of the justices were arguing, and a lot of the people that opposed the United States Supreme Court from even hearing this particular case, is saying that there is no case in controversy. Why, you may ask? Because courts don't go around giving advisory opinions. They don't say, well, if this case were to present itself, we would pontificate and say this is how we would rule. Courts don't do that. So a case has to actually have a case, and there has to be a controversy. But in this particular case, the New York City ordinance that was passed has since been repealed. The original ordinance said that, yeah, citizens of the state of New York, we understand that there's this case that the Supreme Court decided called Heller. And Heller said that everyone has a right to protect themselves in their home, and that includes with a firearm, and you cannot put unreasonable restrictions on that right. And the Supreme Court has had another case out of Chicago basically saying that that right extends to states' rights, and basically the state cannot infringe upon your right to possess a firearm in your home. Well, this particular New York City ordinance says, yeah, you can have this gun, but you can't take it out of the city. You can't even put it in a lockbox in your trunk with no ammunition in it and take it out of the state. And if you do, you're going to be violating the law. But if you do take it someplace, it can only be for basically target practice, or you can't even take it to your country home in New Jersey or anything along those lines. Basically, you had to keep it in the city of New York. So, of course, you know, a bunch of bureaucrats draft this law. Nobody asks the actual lawyers that are going to say, can I defend this? Or somebody says, yeah, it's defendable. We can do whatever we want. It's going to, you know, protecting the general welfare, and that's all we have to do for the cities and the states. So, three people actually challenged this law in New York City and said, hey, I'm a gun owner. I want to be able to take my gun to New Jersey, to my house, and I want to be able to fire it and possess it. And New York said, no, you're going to get fined and ticketed for that. So it was challenged. And promptly, the city of New York realized that this law was completely unconstitutional, but obviously they had done it anyway. So they repealed it. And the state of New York actually passed a law saying, well, yeah, you can do it, but you got to put these restrictions on it. So what the city of New York in this particular case is arguing is that this case is moot. We realize the errors of our ways. We realize that we drafted an unconstitutional ordinance, okay, which should give everyone pause, okay? Why does it take somebody in government to be sued to somebody to figure out that, ooh, maybe that was unconstitutional? Shouldn't we always be out there protecting the individual liberties of all citizens? Last time I recall, that's what the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments to the United States Constitution, those are limitations on government powers. Remember, the founding fathers, the states and the colonies, would not sign the Constitution unless the first 10 amendments were part of it and ratified with the signing of the Constitution. It's a limit on state powers. So New York says, we are not going to, no one should be able to challenge the law because we realize the errors of our ways and that this law is unconstitutional. So no case in controversy, okay? But the first thing or the second thing that they teach you in law school when it comes to case and controversies, and every time they say this is the rule of law, they teach you that there's an exception to every rule of law. And the exception in this particular case is that if it has such huge impact that it could basically expand out, basically the court's saying, we're going to give you an advisory opinion, okay? Now, some of the justices today said there is a case in controversy because this case was thrown out early on by the district court, and the plaintiffs could go back and amend and then sue the city for violating their constitutional rights for some sort of dollar amount. They hadn't asked that before, but in the course of litigation, they're like figured out, hey, we could sue them, so therefore we still have a case in controversy since that's the crux of New York's argument. And so some of the more liberal justices were rather concerned that why are we taking a case that is basically over? We shouldn't do this. But if it affected one of their issues, I'm sure they would find that it would be a case in controversy. Now, the conservative justices, because it affects one of their issues, want this case to go forward. It's going to be interesting to see. When I read it about this last week, I first thought, no-brainer, the way the court has shifted. They're going to expand Heller and basically say, not only do you have a right to possess a firearm in your home, but you have to be able to possess it outside unrestricted, because it's not like everybody has an indoor pistol range in their basement where they can't go and, you know, just shoot a few rounds in the basement for target practice. They need to be able to go to get the weapon serviced. Maybe they want to take it to their property in another state where they can go shoot it. Maybe they just want to go to a target range and shoot their pistol. But if they can't do that, that infringes upon their right to travel, interstate commerce, across state lines, and it infringes upon their right to possess their firearm, which is a right under the Second Amendment. And since we always keep our handy dandy pocket constitution, let's just read it so that everybody knows what it says and nobody can say, Scott, you're making that up. Second Amendment to the United States Constitution. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, comma, shall not be infringed, period. So that's the decision the United States Supreme Court will be taking up. They could kick it back and say, you know what, no case in controversy. We're not sure anything needs to be done. They could say, hey, send the case back to the district court, let them amend, bring it back, let it work through the process, maybe because the record hasn't been fully developed. Or the Supreme Court could simply say, you have a fundamental right to be in possession of your firearm anywhere, not just in your house. Supreme Court has not taken up this issue in any great importance in almost 10 to 12 years. So it'll be very interesting to see how they rule, particularly given the dynamics on the court and how things have shifted. All right. The next matter on the docket today is our contestant for the Dumb Criminal of the Week. As a criminal defense attorney, I have represented lots of people with facial tattoos. And I have always said, why did you want to do that? And I get it. Your body is a canvas. It's your artwork. I get it. But if you're going to go out and commit crime, guess what the first thing is going to be that identifies you? Your facial tattoos. Once had a guy that got identified and he kept saying, it's not me, it's not me. And I was like, dude, they identified your noose tattooed around your neck. It was like a rope that went around your neck and up the side. Like, how many people have that? Of course, only him. And he was promptly ID'd and found guilty. So not that I'm telling people to go out and commit crime, but if you do, you may want to put a little cover up on your facial tattoos. It's a thing, all right? Anyway, Indiana is our place to be today. A guy by the name of Donald Murray was sought by the police because he was involved in a eluding high-speed chase with them. The image that they put out there, because they believed it to be a Donald Murray, in a recent episode, and he sports several tattoos on his neck and face. But his most prominent is the big old statement of crime pays written across his forehead. Take a look at that. All right. Now, don't get me wrong, ladies and gentlemen. A part of me really admires this guy. Okay. For years, I thought about getting this for my license plates, but I didn't think that they would approve it because I think it's just kind of funny because crime doesn't pay if you're the quote criminal. But for the criminal defense attorneys, it's not too bad. All right. And so I didn't get it on my license plates, but I did get it on my suits. So every time I get a suit made, they can put in there, this suit was custom made for Scott Reich. Well, instead of that, we do crime pays. It's kind of a little inside joke. Every now and then, district attorneys will come up and ask, do you really have that on your suit jacket? And yes, I do. All my suits have it in there. But Mr. Donald Murray is our dumb criminal of the week, not for the crime that he did, but how he was, in fact, identified. As I stated earlier, please subscribe to the channel if you have not done so. Please leave me a comment. Crystal Lee Kenny, do you think she should get probation? Do you think she could get the maximum sentence of 3 years? What do you think of the Patrick Frazee discovery that's been turned over thus far? And that you'll be able to see at scottreich.com, as well as the Supreme Court case heard today, New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus New York. Do you think people have a constitutional right to be able to possess their firearm and be able to go out and maybe do a little target practice with it? And also, we have new merchandise that has hit. Yes, new merchandise. Hit the link below. It'll take you right to Teespring. I personally ordered a bunch of stuff today. We'll be giving some of that away in the coming week when it arrives. But if you don't want to take your chances of trying to win a contest that we have here, you can go purchase it your own and have it within a week. Thanks for watching Crime Talk. That's all we have today. We'll see you next time.